You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. I work as a dispatcher at MedStat Ambulance in Erie, Pennsylvania. Since I've worked there, I've heard many stories about how the building has been haunted. One paramedic said that she saw a man standing by the main second-story picture window by the bed in which she was laying one night. The man stood there with his back towards her, and he just dissolved. People have heard strange noises and other strange things, and I've been up all night in the dispatch office many, many times, and I'd never experienced anything odd or strange until last month. I was working the midnight to 8 shift when about 3 in the morning I started hearing the door downstairs open and close violently. And then I heard something being thrown around. I ignored it a while, but I heard the noises again, so I investigated, and I went downstairs, opened the door, and turned on the lights, but nothing was there, nothing out of place. I looked around for a while and then went back upstairs, and as soon as I closed the door to the garage, the door slammed again and the rustling started all over again. I just went back upstairs and tried to ignore it. The noises continued for a while, and then a new sound started. Someone was coming up the stairs next to the dispatch office. I waited for the door to open, but it didn't. This time I didn't have enough balls to investigate, so I just kept on working at my paperwork and I tried to ignore it. This happened again and again, and about an hour later I decided to sit on the floor and just read. And as soon as I hit the floor, I heard a distinct breathing. A heavy, whispery breathing. And at first I thought it might be just the wind, but it definitely wasn't. It was breathing. And needless to say, I got back into my chair. And after a few minutes, I went to the bathroom, and when I sat down on the toilet, the doorknob shook violently back and forth. Well, I've been around some strange stuff, but this was weird. I mean, I never felt a presence per se, but I knew that what I experienced was not at all natural. Maybe it was a ghost.
We moved into our new house in 1970 when I was five. The weirdness pretty much started straight away. The first night we were there, my dad's watch, a typical 1970s stainless steel brick of a thing, which he always put on his bedside table, was found in the morning, completely dismantled, like someone had taken a lump hammer to it. Even the mainspring had been stretched out, all 18 inches from my dad's sleeping head. Over the next 40 years, we had all kinds of weirdness, from temperature drops and cold spots, which moved. I regularly had to move my bed around every month or so, which were so extreme I can remember my breath condensating in June. One evening we came home and found the hatch of the attic ajar. It was never open normally, and there was muddy paw prints all around it, on the ceiling. We didn't have a dog. We have an antique clock, which apparently hadn't worked since before I was born, and was kept as sort of an ornament. The hands on the clock would change time when you weren't looking at it. Literally. It would be, say, 6:45, and you'd look away, look back, and it would be 3:30. I remember a perfect circle of thunderflies in the ceiling over my bed, which just sort of evaporated, and we were forever hearing people or furniture moving around in the rooms we knew were empty. I was five when we moved there, the oldest of the three kids. Although none of us would ever sleep with the light off, I don't remember being scared. Looking back, I remember us talking about the ghost like an irritating, eccentric relative. After we had extensive work done on the house in the early 80s, the ghost settled down a bit, and there was less weirdness. The last time it made its presence felt was about 5 years ago. My dad was away, and my bro was popping in to check if all was well. As always, he went through the house turning the lights on before he went into a room and then off as he left. Eventually, he was back at the front door, ready to leave, switched the light off, it was dark out. Somebody gave a breathy gasp right in his ear. After he'd gotten control of himself and stopped accelerating, he had to go back and shut the front door. For the record, I'm an atheist who regularly has seen ghosts throughout my life. I don't believe in the undead, or restless spirits, or New Age hoodoo. I have no idea what caused the weirdness in my house. Oh, one last thing. When I was about 20, I'm 46 now, I met a woman completely randomly who had lived in the same house in the mid-60s, who told me she remembers it as a warm, friendly place with no weirdness of any sort.
Hello out there. My name is Robert. I was born and grew up in a haunted house, and all the events I'm about to share are quite true, though not in any particular order, just as I remember them. My parents bought a quite large semi-detached house not long before I was born. It was on the market for a very reasonable price, which was down to the property being in a very dilapidated state, having been abandoned for quite some time. The fact that a good quality house had been left to decay in a growing suburban area of Maryside in the middle of a middle-class street is in itself odd. But the house soon became habitable with a lot of hard work, though, with little assistance from contract labor, delivery men, or even other family members. Some just plain refused to go near the place. Some turned up and made a bunch of excuses, and then they quickly left. And not one delivery man would cross the threshold, and by all accounts, the house did exude a menace in its own suburban way. I should explain that the house was fully furnished. Nothing had been looted or even thrown about a bit. All was as it had been. The roof and the windows were shot, and the rain and the weather came in, so the furniture had been completely soaked. Quality furniture abandoned with the house, now decayed beyond redemption. My parents, as they worked in the house, often found the air turned chilly and the hairs on their heads raised for no explainable reason, and many items, screwdrivers, pliers, etc., seemingly vanished without a trace. I think they were mad to have stayed, but they did. The furniture had to go, broken up and burned mostly, though some of the items were quite grand and I'm told they're all still beyond repair. One large chest of drawers, which had seized solidly shut, defied all attempts at being open and had to be dismantled with a lump hammer and crowbar. The drawers, when smashed apart, contained all the missing items lost since my parents first took possession, including a still wet and warm window cloth my mother had just used moments before my father destroyed the chest. Sometime later, when the house was habitable, I arrived, delivered in the front bedroom. Nothing too remarkable about that, but with my birth returned the ghost. My room was fitted with a baby alarm so that my parents could listen to me screaming. I'm only kidding. You know what baby alarms are for. For a while after my birth, renewed sounds of heavy footfalls had been heard upstairs, and an odor of burning candles was often commented on by visitors, though my mom never used them back then. Also, the icy patches had come back, and now with the baby Link in my nursery, my parents had a voice. A kind voice of an elderly lady, usually singing Rock of Ages. My father tells me it used to freeze him to the spot, but my mom would always run up the stairs hoping to meet our ghost. Well, she never did. The voice would go as soon as she reached the stairs, and all would be as it was before. The voice came regularly, and my mother inquired with neighbors as a way of ruling out interference from the neighbors' televisions or radios, and no link could be found with them and the singing voice. I think my parents just got used to it as time went by. People got more relaxed about the house, and the feeling of dread about the place really just went away. The house looked nice, and visitors used to treat the stories of haunting with great skepticism. My Nan, my mom's mother, was the greatest skeptic of all, but I feel that her story, of all that I have heard from the house, remains the best. It was Christmas, I guess 1970 or 1971. I was still little more than a baby, or both of my grandmothers were staying over for the festive season. I must have been out of my old nursery room because I know I was supposed to be moved back to the nursery to make room for the two old ladies, and I also know I wouldn't go as I was adamant that the box room belonged to the lady, and not for anything would my three-year-old self sleep in there. My mom's mother ended up taking the room in my stead, laughing at my parents' foolishness for believing all this haunting rubbish. Anyway, I don't know how many nights she had stayed, but on one of the Christmas nights, my Nan had an interesting experience. It must have been fairly late, and my Nan was getting undressed for the box bedroom, and another old lady joined her in the room. The other lady looked at my Nan and said, "Hello, Amy," my Nan's name. "Love, I haven't seen you in ever such a long time." My Nan fled. Can't say I blame her. It's a small room to be cooped up with someone who you know is dead. It later transpired it had been the previous owner of the house, a woman my Nan had known in the past. A woman who died under quite tragic circumstances in that very house. I had a little sister the following year, and things got loud again. Footsteps, candles, but no singing, just sounds. Clicks on the baby alarm, nothing specific, just wrong. That was that. Things calmed down, or seemed to, I guess. The noises just became normal background noise to us, and we just stopped noticing them, though visitors still found them disquieting. We were feeling our ghost must be getting used to us. As I grew up and entered junior school, I can only remember one incident that was even remotely unusual, and that was a glass vase which decided to move along a windowsill and then be flicked onto the floor. Something I watched while having my breakfast before leaving for school one day. It was much later that I saw the lady, and I still hardly trust my own senses, but it felt as real as could be. I was a teenager, and my room was in the attic conversion, a new room that was never accessible to the previous owner, reached by a wooden ladder staircase, and on this night, I was in bed. It was fairly late, and AM rather than PM, but I was awake, maybe only half awake, but aware. Anyway, I heard a sound, and it was the sound of shuffling feet on carpet. It was unmistakable. I knew I was not alone in the room. To reach the room, you had to climb the bare wood stairs, which creaked and thumped however hard you tried to be quiet. I hadn't heard anyone climb them, and anyway, I summoned the courage to peep from under my bedclothes, and not expecting to see anything at all, but I was disappointed. In the gloom, I could see a woman in a dressing gown standing at the entrance of the room. She was old, and she was moving, though very slowly, into the room. Oddly, I wasn't too terrified, though I didn't sleep that night after I popped back under the covers. I never mentioned it to anyone. I often wondered why I would see her in that room, as it couldn't be accessed in the house past. I did have a theory. Well, two theories. The first was to do with an item of furniture. In my room was the only salvaged item of furniture from the old owner, the lower section of yet another chest of drawers. I wondered if it had been the draw, but I also wondered if she was curious of the new room and just decided to explore. I guess I'll never know. About the same time that I saw the lady, my father saw her too, and he never told anyone either. It was years later that he told me about it. Like me, he had been in a semi-doze, and he was lying on the sofa in the rear lounge, and he was facing what was at the time the doors of a built-in cupboard. And he says that he was just staring into space, relaxed and cozy, when a frizzled-haired old woman strode out of the cupboard doors and through the end of the sofa he was laying on. He said she was clear and solid as any person, and he was able to give a fairly good description of her. He later visited our elderly neighbor, and he told them about the ghost he had seen, and he gave his description to them. They were surprised, to say the least. My father's description had been a perfect match of the previous owner. Anyway, time strode on. The noises had long since vanished. The candle order was a memory. The house was a happy house, except for one spot. And the spot on the first landing is now the only place that won't get better. I wondered if it was just me until last year. I have my own house now, which I can only describe as 100% happy. I never feel uneasy there. One evening, we had a group of friends over, and we all started in on ghost stories, and a theme arose. Had I started it, I could dismiss it, but it wasn't me that mentioned it first, and I sat back amazed as agreement spread through the room. Of all the places that any of them had been going in, up in my mother's stairs was the worst. None could explain it further than a gut feeling that something they did not want to be any part of was hiding there. So people tend not to linger or look just in case. The first landing is a junction. From there, the stairs go straight on and right and to the rear. There is something about that space. You have to check, right? You don't want to, but it's almost a compulsion. Just one last thing. My little sister had a baby 6 years ago. Her and her boyfriend lived at my mother's at the time, and her bedroom was one of the two old hotspots of haunting rooms. With the new baby came the footsteps again, and something that never registered at first were clicks on the baby alarm. We'd forgotten the ghost. The clicks began to realize at the same time every night. 10 after 8 and again a little after 11. After the click, the baby would wake every time, and it wasn't until the family used a babysitter one evening that we paid any attention to the clicks as not being anything other than interference. It was my then girlfriend, now wife's 21st birthday. I arranged a big surprise party at a local restaurant, and all the family would be there, so my sister got her boyfriend's mom to come over and look after my niece, Lucy. Jenny, the sitter, knew very little about us. She had only met us a few times, and she had never heard a thing about our ghost, that was for sure. Cutting a long story short, after a very pleasant evening, we returned to my mother's to find Jenny at the front door at just after 11, and she heard a sound on the baby alarm. A click. It was followed, she says, by a woman's voice which said, "Come on, come on, Lucy, love." Jenny was terrified when we got to her, the poor woman. We had never heard a peep since, other than the clicks, which went on for more than a year afterwards. Well, that's all, I suppose. When I was about 22 or 23, my mom was telling me some things that she mentioned, a scandal involving the old lady who lived in the house, which involved her son leaving the country in a bit of a hurry. She hung herself soon after. I think I know where.
My mother lived in a haunted house when she was very young. They feel that there were more than one spirit in the house. Apparently, the house had a colored history. Once my mother woke up in the middle of the night, and a dark figure was messing with some items on her bedside table. She assumed it was my grandmother and asked what she was doing. A voice in her head told her,
"Go back to sleep."
And she did. The next morning, she had asked her mother what she had been doing in her room that night, and my grandmother confirmed that it was not her in there. They considered their parents' room, I believe, to be the most haunted. Once, my mother and uncle were, I guess, having some sort of endurance contest and they were hiding under the bed covers. They could hear something playing with the vacuum cleaner. My mother bolted, leaving my uncle to suffer alone. He finally springs out of the bed and runs and literally dives off the top of a rather steep stairway and proceeds to float to the bottom of the stairs, where my grandma just happened to be waiting with open arms. They all swear that there was no way that he could have been able to jump all those stairs. Another time, my mom was kind of a tomboy and was outside getting beat up by some neighborhood boys, and she looked up at her house and could see what she believed was my grandpa just sitting in a study window, watching, and she couldn't figure out why he wasn't helping her. When she finally got inside and confronted him, he swore up and down that he hadn't been in the study all day long. Apparently, they had babysitters that would run out of the house in the middle of the night because of scary things that happened. In later years, when I was about 10 or so, my mom worked at a local restaurant after closing, cleaning up the place. It was always rumored that the place was haunted, and she had so many scary experiences that she eventually wouldn't even go alone.
No.
No way.
Nine.
So my stepfather started going with her and experienced some of the craziness himself. She would put up all the chairs on the tables, turn around briefly, and turn back, and they would all be back down again. But apparently the ghost's favorite game was running in and out of the large metal doors to the kitchen. One night it kept happening over and over and over again until finally my stepfather put a tall metal bread rack in front of the door. A few minutes later, they heard a loud bang and went to check. Something had run into the door so hard that it left a dent in the door, hitting the bread rack on the other side. The only other one I can think of comes from my older sister. She lived alone in an old apartment complex, also rumored by many to be haunted. She says that she was washing her face in the sink one night and looked up into the mirror to see another face behind her. She said that she was calm and told them that she didn't mind sharing the space as long as they left her alone and didn't try to scare her or something like that.
served as an officer in the Navy on board a cruiser. One night while we were in port, I was awoken from my sleep by a feeling. What I saw hovering before me was a semi-distinguishable face, but better described as a nebulous form. What I remember most was the sound which filled my ears. Not loud, not soft, very present, but nothing specific. The only way I've been able to describe it is the sound the transporters make in the old Star Trek, but at a constant pitch and kind of muffled. I could feel myself trying to speak, yet could not hear words out of my mouth. I could feel myself trying to move, but again, nothing was happening. The apparition floated above me for what must have been 10 to 15 seconds and then suddenly disappeared. The sound was gone. I could move. I could hear myself speak. But the rest of my stateroom came back into focus. The first thing I did was reach up and touch the pipes which ran through the overhead. My rack was at the top rack, or bunk bed for you lubbers, to make sure that I wasn't dreaming. For it really felt like a dream state. I had two choices. Believe it was a dream, or believe it was something else. I didn't make the conclusion right away. Later that night, I had the mid-watch, from midnight to 4 a.m., on the quarter deck. And once the drunks are on board, this can be very boring to watch. Two other people are up there with you, the petty officer of the watch and the messenger. Discussion always varies, and that night, it turned to ghost stories. We swapped a couple, and my mind thought back to the incident earlier in my stateroom. Well, I shared it with them with no real conclusion because I hadn't really made one yet. And that's when I noticed the pale look on the petty officer in the watch's face. A year or so ago on the deployment before my arrival, a young petty officer was doing maintenance on a radar system. He had defeated the safety interlock, a big no-no, and the radar's cabinet exposing a fully energized Klystron, something with lots of power going through it, and he was wearing a sound-powered phone set, which comprised of a headset and a mouthpiece, which rests on a metal plate, which rests eventually on your chest, suspended by a cord. This young man, could not have been over 21, got too close to the Klystron, and high voltage area of electricity leapt from the Klystron and landed on the metal plate, killing him instantly. The spot where he died was two decks above my stateroom, almost directly above where my rack is. The petty officer of the watch had the messenger retrieve a cruise book from that deployment, like it's kind of like a yearbook. The first page was a memorial to the petty officer who died, complete with this picture. It was his face I could barely make out in my stateroom. We all just stood there. I didn't say a thing, outside of what I had to say for duties, and for the rest of the watch, it was silent. I just stared out into the night. Given my belief in these matters, I figured the ghost was trying to tell me something. Typically, they all are. He woke me up only one other time after the first time. I tried to speak to him, but the same thing happened to me physically as during the first encounter, impairing any kind of communication. The ship has since been decommissioned. I only hope that he had the opportunity to tell whatever it is he wanted to say to someone else.
My brother once lived in a flat in downtown Mount Clemens, Michigan. The Clem was known to be a hotspot for baths back in the Depression era, and the business was booming with activity. Nowadays, it has some rundown parts, and this is where my brother rented his flat. It was a big old raggedy house, which was now separated into multiple odd apartments. Anyways, a long story short, he has always admitted to odd experiences. Cupboard doors opening up, things missing. But one peculiar oddity was that he was always missing his boxers or underwear from his drawer.
Huh?
He admitted that he thought this house was haunted and that the ghost had a crush on him. Never anything violent or disturbing, just odd things. Later on, he starts dating his future ex-wife. She starts coming around and he notices that all the oddities begin to increase. New oddities begin to occur. His girlfriend would always find her shoes, which were left on the mat inside the apartment, outside the door on the patio in the morning. She'd always comment to my brother to stop putting her shoes outside.
You stop it?
He had an idea of why, but didn't want to frighten her. Besides, it wasn't hurting anyone, right? Well, things started getting worse. He comes home from work and his girlfriend was staying there while he was gone. Claims that the stove burner kept lighting itself. She'd walk into the kitchen and it'd be lit. She'd turn it off and shortly later it'd be lit again. Then one night my brother wakes up in the middle of the night and sees his girlfriend sitting at the end of the bed. Not just sees, but feels her near his feet, staring at him. He calls out for her to come back to bed.
What are you doing? Come back to bed.
She doesn't respond, so he calls out louder, telling her to come to bed and asking her what's wrong. His girlfriend then asks what he's doing. He turns and she's sleeping next to him. He turns back, no one at the end of the bed. Now he's freaked out, but doesn't want to scare his girlfriend from coming over to his place. A few nights later, they're both sleeping and he wakes up to his girlfriend screaming. He looks over and she's sleeping, thrashing around, holding on to her neck. He doesn't see anything, so he starts yelling and shaking her to wake up. After a few shakes, she wakes up crying and terrified. She starts telling my brother about how real her dream felt, that a woman was strangling her and telling her to get out, that she doesn't belong there, and to leave her man alone. Her neck had red marks on it, possibly from herself trying to defend herself, but they believe it was from something else. My brother then comes clean with her and decided to do some research and find out that the address that they live in was an old brothel back in the day that rich bathers used to stay in. My brother lived in that house for a few more weeks before he could locate a new place. She never came back to stay the night, though, and he never experienced anything aggressive while there. Still kind of messed up, though. I know my brother, and I can tell when he's lying. This is legit, and when she talked about it, you could see how shaken up she was.
My parents had recently bought a nice house on 180 acres. The house itself was not that old. It was built in the 1950s and sits up on top of a really large hill surrounded by a bunch of trees. Just recently, for no apparent reason, we've had a rash of really strange things going on. One day, while practicing her piano and becoming quite frustrated with a particular piece, my littlest sister, Monica, heard a voice behind her saying,
"Come on, Monica. You can do it. Keep trying."
Well, she turned around to see a frail old woman dressed in black sitting in a lounge chair. Monica screamed and got my mom and dad, but the lady was gone. Not a week later, Monica was taking a shower in mom's bathroom when she happened to glance in the mirror, only to see a large face of this same woman staring back at her. One of the reasons I believe that she isn't lying is because she ran screaming out of the bathroom naked into a gathering of my parents' friends. Over Thanksgiving, while saying grace at the dinner table, our china cabinets and everything in our dining room began to shake violently. Much to the dismay of our entire family. And then finally, during Christmas, we thought it would be fun to hypnotize Monica, just for fun. And she started counting, and then started skipping numbers, and soon was actually in a different state. It wasn't 30 seconds later that she started screaming at the top of her lungs that, "She's gonna kill me! She's got a knife! Oh my God!" When my dad finally woke her up, she could only remember a lady with red hair chasing her in our house with a knife. The final blow was just recently. By final blow, I mean that it finally convinced those non-believers in my family. My father has a favorite leather chair that he sits in day in and day out, and it was in close proximity to a window which my mom opened for some air before a rainstorm. And Dad worried about his chair getting wet and told Mom not to open the window with his chair there or it would get ruined. The next morning, Dad was up early for work and noticed that the den had been completely rearranged so that his chair was no longer by the window, but instead across the room. Well, Dad left for work thinking that all the kids did this the previous night. Mom woke up to the same thing and thought that Dad did it. Well, it wasn't until dinner time that we discovered the room had been completely rearranged, down to the magazine placements and the table leaves, and not by human hands. We figured it was done between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning. And not a sound was heard, even though the kids' rooms are directly below the den and the den floor is hard wood. Mom and Dad used to brush it off, but not anymore.
This is a story I don't often tell. I promise, sincerely, that this has scared me for life, and although I looked into psychological explanations for what I had heard and natural explanations for what had occurred, they remain unsatisfactory. When I was a child, I was scared of the dark. I swore to my mother I heard voices in it. They were not evil, but they were not familiar, and so they scared me. It was not uncommon in the middle of the night for me to wake up and hear whispers, as I would call them when asking my mom. She figured they were just bumps in the night and typical kid nightmare material. I tried often to explain to her that it was more than that. They sounded different from one another, the way people's voices do. On some nights, I would get so scared from these whispers that I would sleep in my mom's bed with her. It was an added bonus that the bathroom was directly outside of her bedroom for my late night tinkles. I should add at this point that when walking into the hall to go to the bathroom, you look directly down the stairs that would lead you into my living room on the first floor, as my mom's bedroom was on the second. One such night around Christmas, I awoke and felt the need to relieve myself. I walked out from the door and distinctly heard a phrase, "Look!" And to my astonishment, a red light, almost like a spotlight, was cast upon the wall at the very bottom of the stairs. The light had no other source. It was by itself, and I was transfixed by it. Being a little kid and only being a few days from Christmas, I knew what that light was. It was Santa. How could he get into my house to know that I had been being a good boy? I was so excited, I began walking down the stairs to greet him, picking up my pace after the second step as it began to creep off the wall and fade into the darkness of my living room. That's when I heard him. A very strong masculine voice, different from the first.
"Stop right now and go back up those stairs."
I listened, turned around, and what happened next, I'm not sure I would believe if someone had told me the same story. After reaching the top of the stairs, I heard a very loud crash that sent me running back to my mother's bed, where I jumped straight under the covers and stayed there the whole night. When we awoke the next morning, the poinsettia lights, little Christmas flower lights that glowed red, that my mother had put on the railing down the stairs, were pulled straight down to the bottom of the stairs, some broken from what looked like a forceful tear, laying in a single pile. The dry sink in my living room had fallen off the wall. My mother couldn't explain it. My father was worried that we had been victims of a home invasion. My sister was crying. There was nothing missing. Nobody had broken in. There did not seem to be any reason that this could have happened. And then I saw it, and I kept quiet about it because I was so afraid I could not force words out of my mouth. There on the edge of the wooden dry sink, which would have been facing up, were three indentations where the finished wood had been worn almost as if a forceful grasp. Something down there had grabbed it and thrown it down. That was what the bang was. I was mortified. After that day, I never heard a single voice again. I don't like to imagine what was waiting downstairs for me that night, if it was anything at all. But I can tell you the reality was that something had physically acted upon two things in my house near the bottom of that stairwell. After this, I had never heard another whisper, which is sad because in some ways, I would have liked to thank the man, masculine energy, that had stopped me from going down those stairs. This happened when I was 7. I'm 20 years old now, and because of this incident, I'm afraid of the dark, especially shadowy stairwells.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys enjoyed those fantastic collection of shocking ghost stories or encounters. Just so you guys know, I mean, every one of these stories that we bring to you on the Paranormal Portal podcast are represented to us as true stories. So we're not bringing you creative writing and fantasy examples here. They are all represented as true stories. So everything that you're hearing allegedly took place, and when you think about that and you think about the variety of phenomena that's represented in these tales, it's really, I think, incredibly shocking and unnerving, a little exciting, but kind of it makes you a little apprehensive. What do you think about them, Don?
You know, like you said, you know, if you can find if you find good ones, you know, there are good ones and then there's ones that you just kind of go, oh, it's all right. Mm-hmm. But when you find good ones, and I think they're wonderful, absolute examples of great stories out there. And like you said, you know, as far as we know, they're as real as can be. So there you go.
Yeah. And I think it really just shows the diversity of phenomena that goes with ghosts. You know, it's not just like ghosts just appear. I mean, they're doing some strange stuff like making things disappear and reappear in like a magician's trick. You know, there was the one that had the, you know, they had to bust open this chest of drawers that was frozen, and they broke it open and they found all the stuff they'd been missing in the house, including a rag that the mom had just used moments before. So, I mean, it's just like, oh my God, you know, Houdini couldn't have pulled that off, but there's some crazy stuff going on. But we really have a lot of fun with this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And I think all of the paranormal is incredibly exciting and really intriguing. But I hope you guys enjoyed the ride tonight. But that's going to about wrap up our episode. So I hope you all are subscribing. And if you have friends or acquaintances that you know that are into the paranormal, please let them know about the Paranormal Portal podcast. If you really like what you're hearing, we would love it if you went on to iTunes and left a great 5-star review. If you didn't like what you heard, then never mind. Just ignore that. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. Don, anything in closing?
No, I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners. And, if you have anything you want to let us know, you can always email us. You can email paranormalportalradio@gmail.com and just let us know your thoughts and share with us.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's our favorite, is to getting the listener submissions, what you guys are seeing and experiencing and allowing us the honor of bringing that to the show is just really the most thrilling part of it for me. And I know Don loves it as well. So thank you everybody for being here and being a part of our shows. Remember to check us out on YouTube. We are streaming live 7 days a week at 7 p.m. Pacific time on our YouTube channel. And you can find that at youtube.com/paranormalportal. And make sure to follow us on Facebook. Our URL there is facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. And we're also on Twitter, and we're closing down. We're closing on 100. Wow. 100 people.
Followers. Wow.
Yeah, people I'm telling you.
Tweets with that, huh?
Wow, yeah. People love their tweets. Yep. So they love their tweeties. But I'm pumped. Thank you. Thank you very much.
God. All righty.
I probably shouldn't have ended it on a turd like that, but what do you do? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice, take care of each other, help each other out, find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. And we'll be back on Wednesday for another episode of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.